What's that, brother?
Oh,
no, no, sir. You can't forget that. That's good singing. That's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, have your Bible tonight. Turn to the book of Luke with me, please. Chapter 17. Luke, chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 26. Luke 17, verse 26. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17, and verse number 26. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage till the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Father, I pray that you bless your holy word tonight and give me what you'd have me say now. In thy name we pray. Amen. I firmly believe that we're living in the last days, folks. I do. As I've said to you before, and I say it again, it bears repeating. It needs to be repeated. When it comes to Bible prophecy, we are in what's called the Wild West of Bible prophecy. In plain words, every man says that which sounds good to him, does that which is right in his own eyes. If you can write it and sell a book and make money on it, well, they're doing the best they can. There's more confusion out there when it comes to the Bible prophecy being fulfilled than anything I've ever seen. I'm not trying to make light of people. I'm just observing tonight. A lot of that goes on. A young woman who just been born again comes into the Christian faith, and they get excited about God's word, then they get into prophecy, and it's utter confusion for them. Or they will pick up some guru, some Bible teacher, and follow him verbatim. And everything that he says is gospel to them, and whatever his interpretation is, that's the way it goes. And it's sad that it happens that way. And some of these men, some of these women will become so arrogant that they'll set dates. And then, of course, they'll always miss the date, for no man knows the day. But it doesn't stop them from setting dates. They're going to continue to do that. It happens. I would like to call your attention tonight, though, to something you're living in right now, and something that may very well happen just in the next few months. It may happen by January of 2017. We are living very close to the coming of the Lord. I firmly believe that. I believe we're living at that time. And time and time again, I have mentioned in this house political candidates. I am not endorsing anyone, but I'm trying to keep you informed. I'm trying to keep you abreast of what's happening so that when you go to the polls and vote, that you vote as an informed voter. Don't you think you're better off like that? Don't you? I certainly do. I believe that you're going to be far better off if you know who you're voting for and why you're voting for them. And I hope you do vote. I hope that you do vote, because this election that's coming up in 2000, the new president sworn in January, is going to be all important. When Antonin Scalia died the other day out there at that ranch in Texas, Arizona, wherever that was, he was one of the most conservative, and he was a stalwart conservative, had been for decades. Now his office, his seat is open. And you can imagine tonight what Obama's going to try to put in his place. Make no mistake about it, he'll put a rank liberal, progressive liberal, he'll put him in there, and that, of course, will change the balance of the Supreme Court. Right now, it's 4-4. But if he puts this liberal in place of Scalia, it'll be 5-4. It'll give them deciding vote. And you don't even want to think tonight about what they'd like to do. They would like to do some things, believe me. They'd like to take your guns away from you. They would like to disarm you. They would like to make it a crime for you to say certain things. They would like to limit your movement throughout this country. They'd like to limit your ownership or property. They'd like to put more draconian laws and so forth down upon you to control what you do, make it almost impossible for someone to start a small business. This is where we're headed. We're in that direction right now. And if you leave it to them, they'll do it. The Second Amendment to the Constitution is like the First Amendment to the Constitution. As I've told you time and time again, if you lose your freedom of speech, forget the rest of them. They don't matter. The Second Amendment is to defend your freedom of speech. The Second Amendment to the Constitution, that you be armed, that you can protect your family. Just yesterday, last evening, in Michigan, northern Michigan, Kalamazoo, Michigan, a madman shot 6 people to death. He shot one, and then something like 8-9 hours later, he shot 2 or 3 more. And I don't know all the details yet, but randomly, he didn't know these people, he just murdered them. And apparently none of these people were armed where they could protect them and defend themselves. That's sad, isn't it? Because they're gone now. You can talk all you please. These people are gone. You can talk about gun control. Gun control wouldn't have saved their lives. But you can talk about all you want to. Now, I'm going to read you an article tonight that was written about Donald Trump. And I want to read this for you because I want you to understand this is the perspective of Linda Kimball. How many of you remember who I told you she was? She's a very smart woman. Very smart. Now, listen to what she says in this article. She says, why are Americans voting for a mouthy junkyard dog like Trump? In Donald Trump is shocking, vulgar, and right, Tucker Carlson asked his readers. When was the last time you stopped yourself from saying something you believe to be true for fear of being punished or criticized for saying it? Right? That's not a talking point about political correctness. It's the central problem with our national conversation. The main reason our debates are so stilted and useless. You can't fix a problem if you don't have the words to describe it. You can't even think about it clearly. Donald Trump speaks his mind, and this is what has gotten the attention of the American people. He speaks his mind. He's not scripted. He speaks extemporaneously, spontaneously. Whatever rises up inside him comes out, and it rings the bell of the people. They know he's not reading from a what do you call that thing, a teleprompter. Obama's glued to his teleprompter. Or reading from a script. He simply says, this is what I think. This is the way I feel. And it comes across. And it's not lost on the American people. He just won South Carolina. He just won New Hampshire. And he says he was cheated out of Iowa. So who knows? But the bottom line is Trump is building momentum. He may very well be the Republican nominee. But they're saying now that they may have a brokered convention. What that means is that on the convention floor, when they have a Republican National Convention, even though Trump may have the preponderance of votes, he may have the delegates, they may try to get in there and overrule and override the vote of the people. If that happens, take note, folks. Take note. Be careful. Your vote is meaningless. It's just like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Both of them are rank liberals. I got no use for either one of them. But Hillary Clinton has superdelegates on her side. And even though she lost the popular vote in New Hampshire, she came out with as many delegates as Bernie Sanders. Is that right? How did that happen? These young people are going to get real mad because they're going to find out that their vote doesn't mean a thing. That the two major parties, the Democrat and Republican Party, are going to keep the status quo. That's what's going to happen. And the only thing that's going to change that is when people get in the street and they're going to be mad as they can be about what's going on in this nation. Your vote doesn't matter anymore. Now, say, why is that important to me, preacher? Because the Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is on his way. Listen to this. This afternoon, I listened to Michelle Bachmann. How many of you remember her? She's a congresswoman from, I think, Minnesota. Michelle Bachmann is a Christian lady. She is a fine, decent Christian lady that I have respect for. I just wish she were from Tennessee. But she was a representative from the state of Minnesota. Those folks had a fine representative from Minnesota. Michelle Bachmann was talking about Barack Obama. She was talking about the fact that he soon will leave office and there's nothing he can do about it. But he has already set his sights on the UN. How many of you know that? Listen to this. Obama wants to become UN Secretary General. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is doing everything he can to stop him. Good for him. It seems at present, this is from Leah Barkowski, the Town Hall. And I have another article here by L. Todd Wood from Washington Times. It seems that President Obama has no intention of stepping out of the White House and fading from the limelight. No. He's got his sights set on the world stage, this time as Secretary General of the United Nations. But not all world leaders are keen to see this come to fruition, including first and foremost Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, no wonder. He treated Netanyahu like a dog. He has been an enemy of Israel ever since he's been in office. L. Todd Wood from Washington Times writes, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly is planning payback for President Obama's dismissing Mr. Netanyahu's objections to the Iran nuclear deal last year. Mr. Netanyahu said to be rallying moderate Arabs to thwart Mr. Obama's bid to become the Secretary General of the United Nations after he leaves the White House next year. We say, why is that important, preacher? Because Obama is already working behind the scenes to change the office of the Secretary General of the United Nations into a far more powerful office. He wants to be able to wield power when he gets in there to come in and take the sovereignty away from the United States and cause the UN to control or overrule the United States of America. Do you know what that's called? Treason. Michelle Obama says that Barack Obama is pitching for a globalist power base where he literally is called by the Israeli newspapers king of the world. Now, I've been reluctant to say to you that I thought Obama was the Antichrist. And I still cannot say that I know for certain he's the Antichrist. But I can tell you this tonight with all peace in my conscience, he is an Antichrist. He is an enemy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't see that, folks, you live in la-la land. And he hates Israel. That's a fact. It doesn't take much to see that. So, what's happening here is that he is working behind the scenes that as soon as he leaves the office, January the 20th, I thought we'd be rid of him. I was going to have a day that day. I was going to have me an Indian dance. I was going to have me a spell. Obama's gone. Hallelujah. Just to move down the street to the UN General Assembly. And did you know that he is the only president in the history of this country that has ever chaired the national security seat? That he is the chairman of the national security, I believe it's called the National Security Council of the UN. And that is a powerful branch of the United Nations. And for a while, he chaired that. And that kind of just flew through the news like nobody paid much attention to it. But maybe he was already laying the groundwork and sending the message out to the people of what his intention was. So what's his intention, preacher? He wants to rule over this world. And he's going to do it from the UN. And he's going to do it from the UN with a powerful seat. You see, the UN gives him authority over the world. He just happens to be the president of this little United States. But as the Secretary General of the UN with this enhanced authority, he is the king of the whole world. Now, here's a couple of things. Did you know that they have discovered natural gas in the Mediterranean? That Israel has discovered natural gas, and now they have natural gas reserves that many nations would love to have? And did you know that they've now discovered oil? After all these years, you heard this. God gave the Arabs the oil, and he gave Israel the land. Well, now Israel's got oil. And the reserves may be astronomical. In plainer words, Israel now has oil and it has gas. Natural gas, which both are commodities that are on the world market. You can sell either one of them. But the bottom line is they have something that somebody else would want. And do you know that somebody else may be? Vladimir Putin. When Vladimir Putin moved into Syria, he moved into Syria to stay. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he's going to put his power base there, and he's going to do exactly what he intends to do. And one of the things that Putin may want to do is to move on south and take Israel. Does the Bible say anything about the bear coming down on Israel? It does, doesn't it? It says that that the bear is going to attack Israel, and God's going to destroy them on the mountains of Israel. It's going to take 7 years to burn the weapons of war. Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing that Barack Obama is the king of the world and Vladimir Putin comes down to take the riches from Israel and God destroys them? And here sits Vladimir Putin in New York City, on the throne of the king of the world, the United Nations. And he makes his true colors known. What's that, preacher? He is certainly qualified to be the Antichrist. The man of sin. Now, this scenario has just developed. This is not something that's been around for 20 or 30 years. See, no prophecy teacher could have seen this coming 20 or 30 years ago. In general, they may speak about Russia coming down, but they couldn't see what's happening right now. That in specifically, this is happening in this country and around the world. Listen to some of the things that Mrs. Kimball has to say about our country. Listen carefully. She says, in the United States, there's a growing secularization, subjective paganism, proceeding hand in hand with the evolutionizing of the culture. What's that mean? Try teaching an alternative to evolution in the school system. Find out what they do to you. Try voicing your opinion against evolution in academia or in a job site and see what happens to your job. Political correctness has gotten to the point to where if you raise your voice against the status quo, you're finished. You're finished. If you have a vulnerable job where they can come down on you and get rid of you, they'll get rid of you. You know, the one who coexists, the liberal crowd, the bleeding hearts, they'd throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. She also says there's a rise in militant atheism. And a growing intolerance of the Bible's account of creation. The two sexes, God-ordained marriage, the fall, the flood, immutable truth, moral absolutes, Christian holidays, Ten Commandment monuments, cemetery crosses, private property, our right to defend ourselves from the evil intention, the founders, and even the Constitution. There is an animus in this country against these things that you hold dear. They're dear to us. Where do we get that from? We get it from the Bible. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. And endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Who endows you with these rights? God. Not the government. Who owns your children? God. Not the government. Governments come and governments go. Did you know they've got a new government in Germany? Do you know they've got a new government in Russia? Do you realize that the governments come and governments go? But the word of the Lord endureth forever? Usually the people of a nation, unless they're just nothing, usually the people of a nation have some sense of morality about them. Something about them that they cling to and hold to for their identity. The government is not bound like that. How many has ever heard of Common Core? I was reading this afternoon, and this lady made this statement. Here's what she said. The elites want to keep all knowledge to themselves and within their bloodlines. So they created these tax-free foundations in America to keep the useless eater dumb, ignorant, and retarded. They began by removing Latin from most of the higher learning institutions and all of the primary education forums. Why? Because there is no room for wrong interpretations in Latin. It is not ambiguous nor arbitrary. When something is spoken in Latin, there's only one specific meaning. That is why it is used in law. No monkeying around with fancy wordplay. This extension of dumbing down with children's books is merely a continuation of that principle. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean that people by the thousands, tens of thousands in this country are waking up to one simple fact, and that is that Common Core is a globalist educational system that is taking your children away from you and making global citizens out of them, and they're not educating your children. They're dumbing them down. They want to dumb them down because they want to keep them to where they can't give an intellectual response to what the elite are doing. The elite are running this country. Remember, the Republicans are talking about a brokered convention. Hillary Clinton has all these delegates, yet she didn't receive them by votes. What's going on? The Republicans and the Democrats both are as crooked and rotten as they can be. This is why people are turning to Donald Trump. Not because he's great, not because they love him, not because he's a fine Christian. Donald Trump probably doesn't know what a Christian is. They're turning to him because he says something the rest of them won't say. Listen to the way Linda Kimball ends her article about Donald Trump. Listen carefully. These are her words. Though Obama claims to be Christian, his liberal apostate brand does not qualify as the real thing. Moreover, liberal Christianity and other such man and world-centered permutations are symptoms of a much larger apostasy and spiritual disease afflicting and killing our society. Increasingly, it resembles the spiritual vacuum that the now dead is now dead in Christendom. Similar to that dead zone, America is a roiling sea of darkness, dotted here and there by very small islands of light. No man, no, not Trump either, can make great an apostatizing, spiritually diseased, and dying society in which a majority of its citizens are slaves to appetites. Without a Nineveh-style repentance and turning back to the Lord, it seems more likely that Trump will prove to be another ten-pot dictator rather than a Cyrus. Only time will tell. She's a smart woman. She's a very smart woman. What'd she say, preacher? Here's what she said. In her heart, she hopes Trump will turn out good and do something for America. But knowing what she knows about what she has seen and heard from him, he is no Christian, and that he has the potential to be great for good or great for bad. And he certainly does. He certainly does. But the alternative to her is worse than worse, because it is politics as usual. You know as well as I do tonight that if Trump was not in this race, you probably wouldn't even be watching any of the thing. You wouldn't be interested in it. It'd be boring to death. And the only reason that most people are fired up about it is because he's speaking to them where they live. This Pacific Trade Agreement that I talked about in Sunday school this morning, NAFTA and GATT, this globalist economic policies, globalist trade agreements, have enriched the elite. They are making money hand over fist. They're making big bucks. But you're losing your jobs. Your jobs are going to Mexico. Your jobs are going to China. They're going to Japan. They're leaving this country. Just like the Carrier Air Conditioning, just in the last few weeks, has announced that they're going to move to Mexico to build their air conditioners. What would you do if your job is on the line next, and they come in and close your factory and say, we're going to start making cars here, making them in Mexico or here or there or whatever, and you lose your job? Do you know why this is happening? They want to reduce America to a third world country so they can control this nation. And when Trump stands up and says, I want to make America great again, he's only speaking from what he understands and knows. And that is that I want to do something about this nation to pull it out of the mess it's in. And I believe he's sincere in that sense. But I'm telling you what the problem is in America. We need a Nineveh-type revival. Do you know what a Nineveh revival is? When she made reference here, Linda Kimball, to a Nineveh-type? Pardon? You better believe it. And who was it that walked through the streets of Nineveh and it took him days to get through it? And God had given him a commandment to go somewhere and he got him a ticket to Tarshish? It was Jonah. And Jonah, when that whale belched Jonah up on dry land, he came out of there probably white all over where he had been inside that whale's belly. You say, do you believe he in that whale? Yes, I believe he was in that whale's belly. If the Bible said Jonah swatted the whale, I'd believe it. I believe the Bible. Amen. You say, how could such a thing be so? Folks, they're finding skeletons all over this globe that are 25 and 30 feet tall of men that lived 25 and 30 feet tall. And they're finding them everywhere. That's a giant. That's a huge giant. You can't judge everything by what you see. But anyway, he went into Nineveh and he said, 40 days and God's going to destroy this place. He had a simple message. And what did they do? They repented in sackcloth. And what did the king do? When the king finally got word of it, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And you know what it did to Jonah? Made him mad. Do you know why it made him mad? Nineveh was the capital of what? Assyria was the enemy of Israel. That would be like in World War II, going down into Berlin, marching through the streets and say, get rid of Hitler and get right with God. And because that was the enemy in war, you see. That's what he did. And God forgave and blessed Nineveh. It's not going to happen in America unless they get up in the pulpit and start preaching it to where you can get right with God. We live in exciting times. I'm going to watch this very closely. I am going to watch Obama. I'm going to watch him. And I'm going to see what this man does when he tries to move into the office of the UN Secretary General and he changes the power base of this thing. And here's what you need to be thinking about tonight. We'll have a president. When Obama leaves office, there'll be another president in the United States. We need a president in the United States that'll stand on his two feet and look Obama in the eye and say, you take care of the UN, I'll take care of America. We need a president that's a man that'll look him eyeball to eyeball and say, you take care of the UN, I'll take care of America. And knowing what some of these fellows have said, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump became the president that he didn't say to Obama, you either take care of the UN or you can move your UN and you can put it over here in Saudi Arabia. Because you see, the United States gives its land, pays its utility bill, takes care of the vast majority of what goes on in the UN. How many of you would like to have a president in January? Put his hand on the Bible and raise his hand and swear to defend the Constitution of this country and mean it. Do you know what that could bring to America? That could bring a revival to this country. Because people would see that and think, maybe God's not done with us. Maybe there's still hope for America. The revival, he's not going to preach a revival. Whoever goes in there is not going to do that. But the very fact that somebody will stand on their two feet and say, I'm going to stand for this nation. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? It would be wonderful. Well, Lord willing, tomorrow, I'll get up in the morning, if I'm here, by the grace of God. I'll get up tomorrow morning, and I will find my way to my voting precinct, and I'll go in there behind the curtain, and I'll vote in early voting for the primary here in Tennessee. You see, Tennessee's part of Super Tuesday. And Super Tuesday voting, I forget when that comes up, in early March. And I don't know the date. But you can, 3rd, March 3rd. So Super Tuesday's March the 3rd. Reason to call it that, what? March 1st. All right. They call it that because, what is it, 6, 7, 8, 9 states are voting that very day in the primary. And so that's going to be a big hunk, big chunk in what happens toward the president. So I'm going tomorrow, Lord willing, and I'll be going in there and I'll be voting. And you better believe I'll be doing some praying when I do that. I love my country. I love America. I love my country. I've been all over the world. I've been in places, the minute I got off the jet, it stunk. And I stayed there 15 months, and it stunk for 15 months. And when I got back on that jet and left that place, I took a deep breath of fresh air. You can't imagine that till you've been to a third world country. But I've been there. I've lived in it. I've been in countries that's dark. There's no light there. It's just dark. I've been in countries where the people, nobody smiles. I've been in countries where nobody's working. I've been in countries that just absolutely, you take America for granted because you've never been anywhere. But if you ever travel outside the confines of the United States, the continental United States, never go off somewhere to another country. Now, I'm not talking about Canada. You can cross over the border in Canada and not know it. You can be talking to a Canadian and not know it. They've got freedom. I mean, they've got a good country up there. It's not a third world country, but you go to Mexico. You cross over to Tijuana, Mexico. And somebody said, well, that's a racist. No, that's the fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. And if you don't know that, it's because you've never been over there. America has been blessed. This country has been blessed. So why throw it to the dogs? Why not do everything you can? Why not do everything you possibly can for this nation? And the election that's coming up now, go out there and pray and vote your convictions and do some thinking about it. Who can win this thing? And who will be able to stand up eyeball to eyeball and do what needs to be done for America? Ask God to show you that. Ask Him to show you that. And don't think that you're going to go in a voting booth and you're going to find a politician that's going to believe everything theologically that you do. And don't go into a voting booth and think that you're going to vote a politician in who's going to be the pastor in chief of America. That's not going to happen. Get somebody that you've got a little bit of confidence in that you think is going to do something for this nation. And I hope that you have the grace of God with you when you go and when you walk in there and you vote. Yes, sir.
A preacher I was sent a commentary with the other day. They were interviewing him after the Congressional caucuses the other day. And he asked him, he said, who leaned forward? He said, Hillary Clinton. He said, could I ask you why? He said, because she'll be the first woman to ever run for president.
Isn't that reason to vote for somebody? That's utter stupidity. Utter stupidity. Absolutely. 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 You talk about a shallow person. That is a very shallow individual. All they're looking at is the surface. Have no idea what the issues are about and what the policy really is. All right. By the grace of God, if I expected God to revive me and if I expected God to bless me, I would expect that I had better do right when it comes to what's necessary, when it comes to voting for somebody. I'm not going to vote for a baby killer, and I'm not going to vote for a sodomite enabler, and I'm not going to vote for a globalist. I'm not going to vote for them. I don't care if they're a Democrat or Republican or whatever. I am not going to vote for them. And if I know they are, they'll not get my vote. I'm going to vote for somebody that loves this country and wants to stand this country back to where it was. That's what I'm going to do. I hope you do. Father, in Jesus' name, we've come to a time, Lord, when the talk is about over. It's over now. Talking's past. It's time to do something. I pray that you bless these dear folk who've heard this tonight. I give them wisdom when they go to the polls and they vote. I pray they'll go. I pray they'll vote. I pray they'll walk in there and feel it's a duty and a responsibility to do that which is right. I ask it in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. What have we got, brother? Page 336.